All right, 1380 WPHM. C-SPAN is 40 years old this year. They're celebrating with a new book that ranks all the U.S. presidents from best to worst. Founding CEO and chairman and longtime on-camera interviewer on C-SPAN, Brian Lamb, is with us to talk about the presidents. Brian, good morning.
Hi, how are you this morning, Paul?
I'm doing well, thanks. This is a massive undertaking and subjective, too. How did you go about ranking the presidents?
We didn't rank them. We asked about 100 different people that follow presidents, both professors and journalists, to look at 10 different categories of all the presidents and rate them according to how well they did. And that's how we found Abraham Lincoln to be number one and James Buchanan to be number 43.
You, of course, talk to presidential historians on a regular basis. They provide the text for this this big book, don't they?
They do. And if you don't mind, this is a little bit off topic, but I wanted to tell you one of the ways that I became interested in presidents.
Yeah.
And it has something to do with Detroit.
Okay.
When I was in the United States Navy and based at the Pentagon, in July of 1967, when that horrible riot happened in Detroit, I was sent out there by the Pentagon to do one thing: record the press conferences of George Romney on an audio tape and send it back to the Situation Room in the White House, and they would transcribe it and take it to Lyndon Johnson's desk because he was worried like crazy that George Romney was going to run against him for president in 1968. And I will never forget that moment in time, and it was so horrible in Detroit then, and I'm sure you know a lot about it.
Yeah.
But that was one of the first times I realized how a president reaches out almost like an octopus into every part of everyone's lives and worries significantly about themselves and whether they're going to win the next election. And, of course, you know the story. He refused to run because he probably couldn't have won.
It introduced you, it sounds like, to the human side of a presidency.
Well, I was terribly insignificant. I was in this one room, and the deputy defense secretary and the deputy secretary of state and a lot of very important men that went on to be, like Cyrus Vance and Warren Christopher, were in the room with me. That's all the space that we had, and I was the gopher. So it began a process for me of just listening to what went on among that crowd, and then that's what I've been doing all my life ever since C-SPAN, and we just listen here.
Well, I was going to say, it almost sounds like that planted the seeds for the idea of C-SPAN.
No question about it. I mean, I got close to Lyndon Johnson physically because I went on also to be a social aide for him and stand next to him for 2 years. He had no idea who I was. He basically ignored people like me who was around him. But again, I got to listen. And he would talk to people in receiving lines when I'm standing next to him, introducing him to people about very serious, in-depth national security things. And it was, again, a chance to see someone like this up close, and he's without a doubt one of the most powerful men in history to be president.
I feel, Brian, like that could be the tagline for C-SPAN, "We just listen," because in an era where the other cable channels are all doing a lot of talking and a lot of pontificating and a lot of opinionating, C-SPAN is much different and always has been.
You know, if there was nothing else that went on my tombstone, and I'm 77 and headed in the last quarter on the 30th yard line, I would love that to be on there. He listened, because a lot of people today just talk. They don't listen. I'm getting to talk right now, but I do very little of this. And you just learn so much more when you listen. And we have here. We've learned a lot.
I want to talk about the 40 years of C-SPAN. How has C-SPAN changed, and how has it stayed the same?
The only thing that's changed here is that we've evolved to having more. We started out with an 8-hour day, 5 days a week, and we're now 3 television networks, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a radio station, websites, all that has, and we stream and people can watch us. We have an archive. It's probably the most important thing we've done in the last 40 years is create an archive that anybody in the world can access free. Everything that goes on this network is available free. 250,000 hours. And that's how we've expanded more than anything else. And as you probably know, the number of people subscribing to cable and satellite is going down, not up. So we also are looking at the future and how we sustain what we've been able to do, and we're going to have to rely heavily on the leaders of our cable industry and the satellite industry to keep us afloat.
Yeah, for sure. You must wish sometimes there was a C-SPAN 200 years ago. Imagine the archive of information we'd have if you'd had video cameras, in 1776, 1812, 1941. I mean, it would be amazing.
Well, here's something you ought to picture, though.
Uh-huh.
John Adams didn't have any teeth. What do you think? No, I'm serious.
No,
what
you're
do you
right.
think it would have been in those days if he'd have been on television?
And no,
George
you're
Washington ended up with one tooth.
You're right. Television has changed the democratic process in that image is everything, isn't it?
Image is a lot. It's not absolutely
right.
Everything.
It's not everything, but it is a lot. This book, The Presidents, ranks 43 presidents. By my count, we're on 45. Why 43?
Well, we don't rate Donald Trump, and Grover Cleveland was 22 and 24. He's the only president in history that was elected. Benjamin Harrison then beat him out in the Electoral College, and then he came back and won again. And so we number them according to their presidencies. So you have 45 presidencies and 44 men.
Were you surprised at all by the rankings? Like when this was all said and done, you stepped back and took a look at it. Any surprises as to where any of the presidents fell?
I'm more surprised at watching Andrew Jackson lose his spot, watching Eisenhower continue to improve. We started out in 2000 with him at 9. He's now at 5. Also surprised at, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that are listed below William Henry Harrison, who was there 31 days. You know, it's hard to describe. But overall, no great surprises. It's always Lincoln, George Washington, and FDR, TR, now Eisenhower at the top, and a bunch of people that very few people have heard of at the bottom. And there's not a great deal of surprise. It's going to be interesting to watch where Barack Obama ends up eventually. Yeah. He's now at 12.
Yeah, that's a good point, because these rankings will change over time through the lens of history, won't they?
They will. I think they will. You know, I mean, it'll be very interesting to know what happens to Donald Trump. Does he win re-election? If he doesn't, where does he end up on the list? Those people that hate him today say, he'll definitely be number 44. But when you judge him based on 10 different categories, he might not be.
Well, look at Richard Nixon. A lot of people 40 years ago would have said Richard Nixon is, you know, the worst president ever. He finishes somewhere in the middle, doesn't he?
He does, and Sean Willance, the political scientist, wrote a piece for Rolling Stone magazine and said, without question, George W. Bush is the worst president in history, and he's 33 out of 43 in this group, so who knows?
Could talk about this stuff all day. It's a great book, The Presidents. Brian Lamb, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care of Detroit. Look forward to getting back there someday.
We sure hope so. Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Paul.
1380 WPHM in Port Huron. Brian Lamb, founding CEO and chairman of C-SPAN, their new book, The Presidents, ranking the best to worst of U.S. presidents.